In the name of the one who was and is to come. Amen. So about 20 years ago, I had just moved to Houston, and I worked in this foreign wasteland that is now known as Pearland. This was long before the Beltway. This was long before the cathedral to fish of the Bass Pro Shop was built. This is even before city water had come out to large tracts of land where I happened to work. And right next door to me was a multi-phase chemical reactor. And it was really sounds a lot fancier than it was. It was a dude with a stick and a lot of really nasty chemicals. And his safety practices were so bad that about twice a year, the few residents that were out there were sent scurrying for their lives, or at least for their lungs. So it was not a particularly lovely place. And I think maybe I picked a church at the time that kind of fit my own life circumstances. I worshiped in a very, very small church, like 15 people on a Sunday. And we had lots of drama, lots and lots of drama. One time they were debating what to do with the holy water that had been spilled because the rector's wife's son, or the rector's son, had tumped over the holy water bucket. And so mom immediately went into action and swept up or mopped up the holy water, and then ensued a 45-minute debate on what to do with the mop. That was my life at the time. We worshipped in a double wide, and there was enough incense for Salisbury Cathedral that could choke you out. At the same time that I'm going to this church, there's a man named Roberto. Roberto is in a wheelchair, and I was 26 maybe, and he was 46 maybe, and that just seemed ungodly ancient. 46 doesn't sound so bad these days. But my 26-year-old self is looking at Roberto, who is profoundly ill. I mean, he has multiple complications. He's in a wheelchair. And because we are this small church, and we are over and against culture, and we don't do things the way that other people do it, we have a Halloween service, All Saints Eve service. I went there every year. And Roberto didn't show up that year, and he showed up on the necrology, that thing that we read outside. It rocked my world because I didn't know him very well, but here he was week after week, and all of a sudden, he stopped being there. And I saw the name on the necrology, and I just broke down. It hurt. It hurt me physically to know that I would never see him again. Now, I didn't have a great relationship with him. I didn't just sit and have coffee with him once a week, but I knew him as a fellow worshiper. And so when Roberto left this world to be with Jesus, he forced me to think about my own life, my own mortality, and what does it mean to pray for the saints with the saints. And so for the next year or so, I prayed for Roberto often. Every Sunday at Prayers of the People, when we had named the dead, I remember before God Roberto and his life and his ministry to me. Because he knew what it was like to be dislocated and frail in his own life. And when I felt like I was feeling particularly frail, I'd say, hey, Roberto, man, I need some blessings and some help. And most of the time, I felt like I got it. Roberto helped me live a life worthy of the calling of Jesus Christ to run with endurance the race that has been set before us. And so I give thanks every All Saints Sunday now for Saint Roberto and his ministry to me. Now, if you move forward, that starts a pretty half-baked way to start your active prayer life, right? Some guy freaks you out because you're afraid of dying, so you start praying. But I'd say that's not a bad place to start. God loves half-baked beginnings. God honors half-baked beginnings. And prayer is much more effectively done when you do it than when you think about it. Now, what I mean by that is if you're thinking right now about, oh, man, I don't pray enough. And, oh, when's the last time I've prayed? Oh, no, I'm a terrible person. You've moved from doing to thinking, right? So why not just start half-baked where you are as impartial and kind of strung together with chicken wire? Pray as often as you can and as effectively as you can. You will get better by doing it. So if you move forward about 15 years, when I first came to Ascension, I was looking for a house with my wife, and we had a realtor, a lovely realtor, She was a faithful woman of God, and we were looking at houses, and I happened to be with her one day, and she's like, "Can I pull over for 1 second?" And I was thinking, this is weird, but okay. She pulls in front of a house she's getting ready to sell, and she pops open the glove box, and can you just guess what was in that glove box? Any guesses? Pretty close. There was 7 little plastic St. Josephs. She's got 7 of these suckers. She buys them in bulk. She probably got them on eBay. And she says, "Oh, just give me a second." And she's kind of embarrassed to be doing this, right? Because I'm the priest, and here she is, and she's getting ready to do something she knows is probably kind of suspicious. But she takes St. Joseph. She goes to the foundation of the house, has a little trowel, right? She's prepared, like all realtors are prepared. She digs a little hole in the dirt, and what does she do? Buries the guy head down. Now, that's a bad way to treat a saint, isn't it? So she buries St. Joseph head down in the dirt, trumps some soil on him, and she comes back into the car, and she says, "Well, I don't really believe this, but why not? If it works, I'm going to try it." And I think that's a really great place to start in your prayers, too. Because if you get so theological and wonder if the ways you are praying and the how you are praying, you will get sidetracked. Just do it, because it can't hurt. Now, that's a pretty low bar to set for prayer, right? Just do it, because it can't hurt, can it? You can't screw something up when you pray. And I think if you do that, if you'll just start somewhere, anywhere, for an active life of prayer, you will be blessed, and you'll be living a life worthy of the calling in Jesus Christ to run with endurance the race that is set before you in God. And moving forward to just a couple of days ago, a couple of weeks ago, you all know that many of you know that Kay Wallen died unexpectedly. And I want to tell you a story about Kay Wallen, because I think it really fits and is appropriate on All Saints Sunday. My first year here, I was sitting in my office, kind of feeling a little bit bewildered, held the desk, and I said, "Okay, I'm here. What am I supposed to do now?" And so I got a phone call. And so this is my first year, remember. So I get a phone call, and it's from Kay Wallen, who I sort of know but sort of don't know. And she says, "I'd like to talk to the rector, the pastor." And I thought, okay, I got my shoes on. I'm ready to go to some hospital visit, or I'm ready to do something really important. I'm locked and loaded, man. She calls me, and she says, "Can I pray for you?" What? Okay. I guess you can pray for me, sure. I mean, we're a church after all. And she begins to ask me these questions that she went from preaching to meddling pretty quick, or asking to meddling pretty quick. She says, "Can you tell me about your family, how they're doing, so that I can pray for them specifically?" I'm like, "Oof, whoa, okay. Yes, you can pray for my family. Can I pray for your health? Is there anything physically wrong with you that I could lift up to God for intercessions?" And I'm thinking, no, I'm pretty good, but this is going from some good to kind of strange, but also wonderful at the same time. And then she's like, "Can I pray for your ministry? Is there specific things that you want me to pray for and to lift up before God so that this place can thrive as an image of Jesus?" Yes. "Can I pray for your ministry in the world so that you can be a light to the world?" And I'm thinking, woman, you've set the bar pretty high for me. You've set the bar too high for me. And I felt inadequate. I felt unworthy of the calling or the expectation that she had placed on my life on that random call on a Tuesday afternoon. But I thank God for that. I thank God for that phone call. I thank God that she called me something far better than I could have hoped for. And I remember her with all the saints, like Saint Roberto and Saint Kay, for the ways they have impacted my life, for the ways they have ministered to me, for the ways they have ministered to us. Because Kay is not only praying for me, she is praying for ascension. Her and Gloriana and Joy get together once a week, and they pray the pants off of this place. I mean, they're in these pews, and they're praying like crazy, and thank God for them. Because their prayer is an act of stewardship. Now, we are in stewardship season, and we're going to ask for your money, we're going to ask for your time, we're going to ask for all your gifts and skills. But also, I want to ask for your heart. I want to ask for your heart in prayer for the sake of this place to be a light to the world. I want to ask for your prayers to give your heart to this place so that we saints can run with endurance the race that is set before us. Because prayer, as often feels like a terrible, isolating, individualistic experience, if you just did it more, you'd be a better person. But I'm here to tell you that prayer is done best in groups. Prayer is done best when we do it for each other. Prayer is done best when we surround ourselves with the saints, us, the great cloud of witnesses, as it says in Hebrews. We are surrounded by saints who have gone before us, the ancestors. We are surrounded by saints who are sitting in the pews with each other, the saints of this current age. And there will be saints long after we are gone that we are called to live with, in fellowship with, and in prayer with. So I pray on this All Saints Sunday that you can get a little help from your friends. For me, it's St. Kay and St. Roberto and St. Augustine and St. Real Estate Agent. But I want to know what your saints are, how they help you live a life worthy of the calling. Because, you know, we all need a little help from our friends, and that's enough. Amen.